May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome to another wonderful inspiring episode on the silsila Spiritual Cures. Wherever you are in the world, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. A kind reminder that when you are making dua for yourself, your family, your community, make dua for the ummah as well. Make dua to Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, and for the sake of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that he grants relief to the ummah, that he azza wa jal removes whatever difficulties the ummah is facing, that he grants shifa, speedy and complete recoveries from whatever type of ailment it is, be it physical, medical or spiritual, and that he, Almighty Allah azza wa jal, grants protection against the oppressors. Subhanallah azza wa jal, today as well, we have some calls which will be available in a few moments. But before that, see, it's very handy to have a notebook or diary and jot down the important Madani pearls, the wada'if, the invocations, the incantations, and use that as a reference book. Because when you listen to the calls and whatever the questions may be, if there's any difficulties or problems or things people need to find out, then you can jot it down and refer to it at a later stage. And we'll be sharing some wada'if or two, inshallahul kareem. And you can practice upon it. You can share it with others by sharing ilmun nafi'ah, beneficial knowledge. There's immense rewards that can be gained. How about you make some good intentions? Do you remember the blessed hadith? Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Let's make some good intentions. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila of Madani channel for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well, insha'allahu Azza wa Jal. There are so many wonderful blessings for reciting salawat, durud-e-paak, salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the ummah, our most merciful prophet, the last prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the one who recites salat ala nabi durud paak 1,000 times every day, will not die until he sees his place in Jannah, in paradise. Almighty Allah will show this fortunate person their place in paradise through a dream before they leave the world. Don't waste your time in frivolous activities, in useless conversations. Time is precious, time is fast, life is short. The now is what matters, the present. Invest in your time today for a better future tomorrow. Not just in this earthly life, but in the grave, the year after. There's going to be judgment, accountability, the day of justice. So every day, create this mindset. If you create this mindset, it will help you and those around you, inshallahul kareem. That every day I must take out some time to recite the glorious Quran with translation from Kanzul Iman, with commentary which is available in English, Miftahul Ihsan, done by a great scholar, Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi, rahmatullahi ta'ala ali. Allah grant him high stations in the hereafter. Every day I need to read Durud Paak, Istighfar. I need to make sincere tawbah. It could be my last day. I need to renew and refresh my Iman, abstain from sins, be punctual with my salahs, perform them properly, fulfill rights of others, practice on the sunnah, learn a sunnah for the day, a dua for the day, something of deen for the day, and obey Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. These things are going to help us. They will help us in this world, the grave and the hereafter. Because we have one shot, one chance. And that is this earthly life, which is temporary. We get messages, janazah messages, funeral messages on a daily basis. Sometimes multiple messages, 2, 3, 4. But how is it so many of us, we don't learn any lesson from that? His Eminence Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir Ahl-Sunnat, Hazrat Abu Bilal, Hazrat Mawlana Allama Muhammad Ilyas al-Tar Qadri Damat Barakatum Al-Ali, the founder of Dawat Islami, a Kamil Wali of Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, a great scholar of Islam, advises us that Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, even the mayyit, even the deceased person, is a muballigh, is a preacher, a silent preacher. And the message that is being given to you and I is, oh my brother, oh my sister, look at me. I'm helpless, completely helpless. As you see me in this condition, your day is coming. One day, you are also going to be in this position where you won't be able to bathe yourself. Others are going to give you ghusl. You won't be able to clothe yourself. Others are going to cover you with the kafan. So the smart person, the wise person, the intelligent person is busy preparing for what is going to come, like it or not. So let's prepare. Prepare for safety and comfort in the grave, so we gain salvation on the day of judgment through the mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through His mercy enter paradise. At the end of the day, you and I as believers, as Muslims, as ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we need to make up our minds and decide once and for all, I need to live my life to please Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. That's it. Not to please my desires and not to please the people, society. Not to cave into societal pressures. This is viral and this is trending and this is in fashion. Who cares? Oh, you know, people are going to talk. If I'm going to wear Imama Sharif, I'm going to grow my beard. Or for Islamic sisters, if I'm going to wear the burqa and niqab and hijab and parda, people are going to talk. Who cares? Whether you do or don't do, people are going to talk. You will care. If you're doing it for the people, if the person is a people pleaser, I need to fit into the norms of society, then you're a slave of the people's whims and fancies. Be a slave of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do for Him. Do good deeds for Him, Azza wa Jal. You won't worry. You can talk, he can talk, she can talk. Doesn't bother me. I'm not living my life for you. I'm living my life to please my Creator, to whom I'm going to return to sooner than I realize. Subhanallah. If you can request our director and our team to please go ahead with the first call for this evening. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Inshallah, very beautiful discussion by our Mawlana Sahib on Madani channel currently, and a very informative discussion. My question is, what is the description of Jannah? How can we describe Jannah and, you know, to understand Jannah better? And will there be sleep in Jannah?
A very interesting question, mashallah. So I'm going to give some authentic information about Jannah itself, about paradise, heaven. For the second question about sleep, no, there will not be any sleep in paradise. Why do you need sleep? To recharge your batteries. To recharge yourself so you can wake up fresh to take on whatever challenges are there for the day. You don't need any recharging in paradise. There's no tiredness in paradise. And sleep is similar to death. Look at the dua before you sleep. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. O Allah, in your name I die and I live. So sleep is like death. Of course, there's no death in paradise. Even in hell, death will be destroyed. So whoever is placed into paradise will stay therein forever. Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us against the fire of hell and grant us through His mercy into paradise. And ask for Al-Firdaus, Jannatul Firdaus. You know, it's mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, verse 124. And whoever does good deeds, whether man or woman, and is a Muslim, will be admitted to Jannah, to paradise, and they will not be wronged a bit. Another verse of the Quran, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, verses 15 to 24, mention some description. Now, this description is for our limited understanding purposes, but the actual reality of it, Allahu Akbar, is as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, I have prepared for my pious bondsmen those bounties which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no human heart has ever perceived. That's paradise. So the descriptions are for our understanding purposes and also to motivate us. Jannah is not cheap. We have to work for it. We have to do good deeds properly to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following the commands of Al-Quran, by following the orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So in Surah Al-Waqi'ah it's mentioned, the dwellers of Jannah will be on studded thrones, studded with diamonds and pearls, reclining on them and facing each other, surrounded by eternal youths, carrying bowls and jugs and cups filled with flowing drinks, pure wine of Jannah before them. Their heads shall not ache with it, nor shall they lose their senses, and fruits that they may like, and meat of birds that they may wish, and gorgeous-eyed fair maidens like pearls safely hidden. It's also mentioned, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, by the final Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in paradise there are 100 levels. Do you know what the distance between each level is? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the distance between each level is like the heavens and the earth. Al-Firdaus is the highest level, and from it the four rivers of Jannah are made to flow forth. So when you ask Allah Azza wa Jal, ask Him for Al-Firdaus when you're making dua. So one of the duas must be this: Ya Allah, through Your mercy, through for the sake of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, grant us Jannatul Firdaus. Grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus without accountability. Ask for yourself, ask for your family members, for your parents, your children, your uncles, your aunties, your grandparents, great-grandparents, your Muslim ancestors and descendants. Ask for fellow Muslims as well. It's mentioned that if so little as what can be placed on a fingernail of what is in Jannah, in paradise, was to become apparent, it would have beautified all the far corners of the heavens and the earth. And if the heavenly bracelets were to become apparent, it would have blocked out the light of the sun, as the sun conceals the light of the stars. There are different palaces in Jannah made of gemstones that are clearly transparent, that the inside can be seen from the outside and the outside can be seen from the inside. The walls of Jannah are built of bricks made of gold and silver, and the mortar is of musk. One brick of the garden of Jannah is made of gold, one of silver. The soil is of saffron. The pebbles are pearls and rubies. Another narration says that Jannah has four rivers, one of water, milk, honey, and pure wine that does not intoxicate. Streams will flow from these rivers, reaching every house. These streams do not flow. Rather, these streams, they will flow from these rivers and they'll reach every house. But these streams do not flow below the ground. They flow on the surface, above the ground. One shore of these rivers is made of pearls, the other of rubies. The river beds are made of pure musk. Now the wine of Jannah is like the wine. It is a pure, non-intoxicating wine. Not like the wine of this world, which smells bad, bitter, intoxicates people, makes them lose their senses, and they become abusive, violent. The wine of paradise is pure and free from all of these defects. The food of paradise is delicious. When we say delicious, we are thinking according to the worldly definition, worldly food, earthly food. But how it's actually going to taste, those who will go to paradise, Allah include us as well. Us sinners, we are sinners. We know who we are. Daily make dua of maghfirah for yourself, for your parents, for Muslims, for the ummah. So the foods, if a person sees a bird and they desire to eat the meat, immediately it will be cooked, it will be fried and brought to that person. When a person has a desire to drink water, jugs will appear in their hands, which will contain the right mixture, but it will be contained of water, milk, wine, honey. And the quantity will be exactly according to how much they want to have. Not one drop more, not one drop less. And as soon as they finish drinking, it will disappear. All these things. And there's so much more descriptions. But this is to give us some understanding, an idea. We all want to go to paradise. Who doesn't want to? Show me that unfortunate person that says he doesn't want to. We all want to go. The place to prepare for it is here. But remember, at the end of the day, those who will be admitted into paradise, they will only enter through the mercy of Almighty Allahu Azza wa Jal. That's it, the mercy of Allah. We are dependent completely on His mercy. Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy upon us. And the passport to enter paradise is death upon iman, with your beliefs, your faith intact. And the boarding pass is good deeds. We don't have a choice. We have to do good deeds. We have to. Some people say, well, I have to do this, must do this. It's your choice, na? This is Islam. These are your do's. These are your don'ts. You do these things, you get the reward. You do those things, you get the punishment. Which way do you choose? You have a choice. The right way or the wrong way. We don't choose the destination of our choices, the consequences of our choices. We choose our choices. The wise person will invest their time, their wealth, themselves in doing good deeds, busy themselves and occupy themselves in doing good deeds. Salah, sunnah, fulfilling rights, whatever is obligatory upon a person, discharging of zakah, calculating it properly, making sure it reaches the correct recipients who qualify to receive zakah, hajj, fasting in Ramadan. So death with iman is a condition for entry into paradise. So I want to share one wazifa with you, that our master, the great Mujaddid, the great reviver of Islam, the scholar of Sharia, the destroyer of Bid'ah, Al Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, has advised. Somebody asked him that, Huzur, anything to read for death with iman? And one of the things he advised that we all can do, and we should do, and we should encourage the next generation, our children or grandchildren if you have, to do the same. That when you're going to sleep, then after you finish your Ayatul Kursi, Suratul Fatiha, the three quls, dua before sleeping, whatever wada'if, the very last thing that you do is recite Suratul Kafirun. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. The whole surah, one time. And close your eyes and sleep. If you need to talk to somebody, then after that, recite Surah Kafirun again. It must be the absolute last thing that you do. The one who is habitual with this, inshaAllah al-Kareem, will die with Iman. Stay away from sins. Sins weaken the person's Iman. Worry about your Iman. The person who doesn't care about the preservation, the protection of Iman. Ulama-i-Kiram, the honorable scholars of Islam have mentioned that there's a possibility that person can leave this world without Iman. Allahu Akbar. What a travesty. What devastation to leave this world without Iman. Then there's no hope. There's no chance of entry into paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our Iman. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May we have the next call, please? صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
My name is Tawfiq Muhammad. Jazakallah Maulana Nushat Sahib for this great inspiring show. We are learning a lot. My question is, what is the nature of jinns and in which way do they affect a person?
This is one of those vast topics as well. We're just talking about Jannah. We just maybe a little bit we discussed. Here as well, Allahu Akbar, it's an intriguing topic, but some information we must have in order to protect ourselves. So I'm going to share some spiritual remedies as well, inshallah al-Kareem, with regards to getting rid of jinn from the home, protecting oneself from jinn-related problems, and try to practice, make a note of it, inshallah. So jinn. We all know the Quran has a surah called Suratul Jinn. Jinn are made of smokeless fire. Iblis, Shaitan, the cursed, rejected one, disgraced, humiliated one, he's also a jinn. Kana min al jinn. Now, we come across every now and then Muslim youngsters, they have a false notion that the devil, Shaitan, Iblis, Satan is a fallen angel, which is incorrect. That's not the Islamic belief. But where did they get this information from? Influence. Either from social media, or from the movies and dramas, or from the peers around them, their friends, in their discussions. Maybe they read it. So Iblis, Satan, Shaitan, whatever you want to call him, the rejected one, is a jinn. Made from smokeless fire. The kafir jinn, which are majority, they are what people will call devils, demons, whatever you want to call it. That devils, demons are the kafir jinn, the disbelieving jinn. They are the shayateen, the devils. And minority of the jinn are believers, Muslims. And from this minority, the minority of them are pious Muslim jinn. And the majority of the Muslim jinn are mischief makers. They are sinful. How we get so many Muslims, human Muslims, that you know don't eat the salah, that do all bad things, sinful activities, and completely against Islamic teachings and values. Many Muslims. Every person is born with a shaitan. Hamzad, Qareen, or Qareen, they call it. And the effects, what are some of the effects? These kuffar jinn, disbelievers who are jinn, they create problems in a person's life. One of the notable things that they do is they create domestic issues in the household, domestic disputes, friction between parents and their children, between husband and wife, between brothers and sisters, between family members. But there's all this constant quarreling and arguing. There's no sukoon. There's no tranquility in the home. There's no harmony in the home. Allahu Akbar. This is one of the main things that they do. And they are attracted to people who stay in a state of impurity. The people who drink alcohol, who take drugs. Alcohol, drugs are haram. We all know that, right? Prohibited. Person who does it is going to get sin. It's going to get punishment. It's also najis. It's impure. Like feces, like urine, like blood. Flowing blood Like vomit is impure, so too is alcohol and drugs. So the person who is forcing impurity into their bodies, the jinn is going to affect that person. They're attracted to that person. They love impurities. They stay in the toilets. Go have a look at what the translation of the dua before you enter the toilet is. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection against minal khubuthi wal khaba'ith, the male and female jinn, kafir jinn, that reside there because they love impurities. So how do you protect yourself? Read the dua before you enter. After you read, then, and try to start with Bismillah. Bismillahi Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minal khubuthi wal khaba'ith. Then enter with your left foot. When you're exiting, exit with your right foot. And then you read the dua when you're outside of the washroom. That will protect you. For protection against domestic problems, see what happens is, if a person is returning home and they do not recite the basmala before entering the home. Okay, what is basmala? Basmala is what we say, Bismillah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim is called basmala. So the person who does not recite Bismillah or basmala before entering the home, and they enter without reciting it, a shaitan, a kafir jinn, enters with that person. What do you think he's going to do? Why? I don't have any peace in my home. I don't even feel like coming back home. I'd rather hang out somewhere else. My husband, my wife, is always arguing with me. There's no sukoon, there's no tranquility. Do you recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before entering the home? We have to ask ourselves. Make it a habit. Teach your children, the next generation as well, that recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, enter with your right foot, make salam loudly. If nobody is at home, say Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Then read Surah Ikhlas, Qul huwallahu ahad. One time. By doing this, insha'Allahul Kareem, there's two benefits. One is the home will be protected against domestic disputes. If they are, it will be removed, insha'Allah. And there will be blessings in the person's sustenance, the person's rizq, income. Easy, simple things we can all do. Make an intention right now. From tomorrow, I'm going to start this. If there is a jinn living in the person's home, they're going to create all these problems. So recite Suratul Fatiha, Ayatul Kursi, and the first five verses of Suratul Jinn. Blow into some water. Right? Have a cup of water, bowl of water, blow into it. This water, sprinkle around the house. Inshallahul Kareem, the jinn will run away from there and will not return. Inshallah, Sawajal. The recitation of Suratul Baqarah, Allahu Akbar. To recite Suratul Baqarah, it'll take you a little bit of time. The longest surah, na? In your home. Recite Suratul Baqarah in your home and make dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person has any issues, difficulties because of the jinn, if your belongings, if your items are just disappearing, you can't find it. Or if they are misplaced by the jinn, if you find your clothes, your items are damaged, are torn, if you're feeling like down, if you feel a burden on your chest, a weight on your shoulders, these are all signs. If you're experiencing a lack of sleep, you're having nightmares, you're seeing in your nightmares snakes, scorpions, lizards, if you see spots of blood around the house, recite Suratul Baqarah. Those evil jinn, they will flee from there. It's mentioned that whoever recites Suratul Fatiha, Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Falaq, Suratul Nas, after Jumu'ah, 7 times will be protected until the next Jumu'ah. Sayyidina Waqi' Rahmatullah Ta'ala Alayhi said that he acted upon this and found it to be true. Before you change your clothes, before you take off your clothes, recite Bismillah. It will protect you. It will protect your clothes from being used by the jinn. I will advise you, There is a brilliant book authored by His Eminence Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya called Blessings of Bismillah. You can obtain the hard copy from Maktabatul Madina, Dawud Islami's bookshop and publications department, or you can download it for free from dawateislami.net. So, we advised, before you do anything permitted, any good deed, read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. There'll be blessings, it will be completed, whatever you wish to do. Before you close your doors, because at night, normally we'll check our doors are closed, are locked properly, everything. Windows are closed. Recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, close your windows. Close your doors. Lock it. Because by closing and locking it, latching it, you might get protection against the human criminals. But if you do not recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim before, then it's a free access and entry for the spiritual criminals, the jinn, the mischievous jinn, the kuffar jinn. They spread out when Asr is ending, when Maghrib is about to begin. That time, they spread out, they come looking for a place to stay. You can prevent their entry, you can create a shield or barrier for your home by reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim before you close your doors, your windows, you lock them, you latch them. The blessings of Bismillah, the power of Bismillah in the name of Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Please go ahead with the next call. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
My name is Sahil Abbas and I'm from Durban, South Africa. Now, angels are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, my question for today is, how are angels created? Also, I'd like to thank Mulana Nushad for the beautiful programs. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, grant him the strength and ability to continue spreading knowledge of Deen.
Ameen wa iyyakum. Jazakumullahu khairah for those words of motivation. It's the blessings actually of Fizan of Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah. Really, it's because of him that we see all of these sources, resources, platforms, facilities. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu grant our Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah a long life with good health to continue inspiring us. So remember, jinn are made from smokeless fire. Iblis, shaitan, Satan is a jinn. Teach this to your children, please, before they get influence from the outside world with the wrong information. Sayyiduna wa Mawlana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has clearly said, angels are created from light, the jinns from fire. Now, there is a very important point that we must know, and our children must know as well. The angels, malaika, the leader is Sayyiduna Jibra'il Amin ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Ma'asum means sinless and incapable of committing sins. Only the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Anbiya, the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Mursaleen, and the Malaika, the angels, are ma'asum. Nobody else. Only these categories. The pious people, Sahaba Ikram, Ahlul Bayt, Awliya Allah, they are mahfooz, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them from sins, but the possibility to commit a sin is there. So the prophets, messengers, and the angels, only they are ma'soom, sinless and incapable of committing sins. Now, how are angels created? Allahu Akbar. There's so many different narrations. I'm going to share a few, inshallah. It's fascinating. Look at the power of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, most certainly, angels are created from the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyiduna Mawla Ali karamullah ta'ala wajhahul kareem, Mushkil Kusha, says, there's an angel whose name is Ruh. He has 70,000 heads. Each head has 70,000 faces. Each face has 70,000 mouths. Each mouth is made up of 70,000 tongues. Each tongue is blessed with 70,000 languages. Allahu Akbar. By means of these languages, this angel is constantly reciting tasbih of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from each tasbih, one angel is being created. This angel soars into the heavens with the rest of the angels until the day of judgment. Can you count? The creation of angels is continuously taking place. They have different duties. They're made of light, nur. They have different duties, different responsibilities given to them by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some are in charge of the clouds, some of the wind, some of the mountains, the rainfall. Some attend gatherings when the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place. Some convey your durood pak to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some are writing down the good and bad deeds. Kiraman katibin. Some are going to question us in the grave. Munkar nakir. Allahu Akbar. When you stand for salah, make sure there's no food particles between the teeth, because an angel comes and places its mouth on your mouth. What you recite enters it. If there's any food particles, the stench and the stink of that repels the angel away. There's angels in the masajid. There's angels around, we can't see them. Subhanallah Sawajal. May Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, for the sake of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alaihi Wasallam, protect our Iman. Grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus in the closeness to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Grant us entry without accountability. And protect us against the fire of hell. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain.